Hi, friends, and greetings again today. It's always a joy and a pleasure on our part to come from our place to your place. And we trust wherever you may be today or this evening listening to our broadcast, I trust that everything is well with you. And I trust that you will write us. We always are so glad to hear from people that we reach around the world. And we have a Bible study course. It consists of 52 biblical lessons, Bible lessons. They are foundational thoughts that are important for a person to live a Christian life. And this will help you if you make one study each week. That means you'd have one for every week in the entire year. So we'd be so pleased to send this to you if you'd just write us. And be sure when you write, you specify this lesson. 52 lessons on the Bible. And be sure and print your name and address plainly so we can send this to you, because if we can't read your name and address plainly, then it would get lost in the mail. So we want to help you. We want to encourage and enlighten people any way we can. And most everybody has some kind of religion. And religion is a thing that we may do. Our Bible speaks about religion, that it's doing good to our neighbors and helping widows and orphans and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. In other words, being kind of a separate people, not appearing to be better than people in that respect. We are better in our spirit, hopefully, that our lives would be an example to you or anyone, that we don't live as the world lives, we don't act as the world acts, but the Bible calls us a peculiar people, not curious, but a peculiar people. So I want to use for a thought today, assuming that you have some kind of religion, assuming that you have some God today. And most everybody has a religion or some kind of God that they are serving. So I want to ask the question, how big is your God? How big is the God that you serve? Is he big enough to form the world? Is he big enough to forgive sin? Is he big enough to be in the entire universe and yet small enough to come and live and take his abode within the very heart of an individual? So that's the kind of God that I serve. And we find in Romans, if you have a Bible, chapter 5 and verses 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. So how big is your God today? First of all, my God is able to justify me, because our conscience tells us if we aren't saved, we are condemned and we are convicted and separated from God. And therefore, there's just something about our mind and hearts. When we begin to think about God and facing Him in eternity, there's something about that condemns and convicts us. So the Bible tells us without any merit on our part, without any works on my part, I'm justified by faith, and I have peace with God. You see, my God is able to save me regardless of how far in sin that we may be or may have gone. Some people have murdered, some people have stolen, and they've just lived a very, very wicked life, all of their life. And so God is able to reach down and save the vilest sinner on earth. So, is your God able to do that today? Can you feel assured in your heart that your God has forgiven you of your sins? We're not thinking are hoping, or we wait until we die and face our Maker in judgment, or the Creator, whoever He may be, but Jehovah God, the giver and sustainer of life, He is the Creator, He's the Savior of the world. And so we are justified by faith in Him. And we through Him, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, in His sight, there are no big sinners and little sinners. Everybody is a sinner, and He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. And then when we come to God by Him, the Bible says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So when God comes into our life, Ezekiel in the Old Testament 11:19, he says, I will give a new heart. I said, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. So God performs a miraculous operation in a man's life without the surgeon's knife. See, God, through and by the working of the Holy Spirit, can come into our lives, and He just performs that spiritual surgery and never leaves a scar. He takes out that old stony, hard heart that we had that was sinful and was hateful, and all the bitterness and vile that we had in our lives. You see, God just comes in by His marvelous, sweet Spirit. And that's what God gives us. We have a new love. The Bible said we know we have passed from death unto life because we now love the brethren. You see, we hated people before we became saved. And today, if your God is not able to remove the hate and the malice and the things that's in your life and give you a spirit of meekness and give you a spirit of joy, my, it's just marvelous and amazing. It's transforming power. It is miraculous power. It is a supernatural power. And if your God is not able to do this, you know, people turn over new leaves and they make resolutions and they reform and they're going to do better. But friend, you know, that's within your power, your strength. But my, if you just let God come into your life, He can do a perfect job in transforming your life. And He gives us, the Bible calls, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And the Bible says against such there is no law. How can you legislate a law and tell me that I can't have love or joy and peace in my life? You cannot legislate any law. You may put me in jail, but you can't take my love and my joy and peace. You may confine me. You may do other things that would hurt me, but I'm talking about an inward peace that the world cannot give. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. But He said, I leave my peace and this joy with you. And so your life without my God, it is incomplete. The Bible speaks about the thief, which is Satan the devil, that he came to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And not only that, but God gives us mercy. You know, we are unhappy, but when God comes in our life, then we become rich in mercy, and He gives us a new hope. He said, at times past, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. You see, your God, my dear friend, if He doesn't give you hope in the world to come, then you're serving the wrong God today. See, my God comes in and gives me peace that passes all understanding. And you know, we just don't have the words to explain. We don't have the expression to give, and so you've got to try it for yourself. And the Bible tells us after we receive this peace from God, he said over in the Roman letter, chapter 8, verses 1, he said, therefore, there is therefore now, present tense, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we become children of God, then we have this love and joy and peace in our life. In the latter part of that 8th chapter of Romans, he said, what shall or who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulations or distress or famine or nakedness? You see, a Christian may suffer hardships, and we will. We have hardships to encounter. We have trials. But he said, none of these shall be able to separate a man from the love of God. But we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said in verse 35, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. But my dear friend, but he said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing present or nothing to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God. We have trials, tribulations, disappointments, and hardships, but we can also go to our Heavenly Father and says, I will not withhold any good thing from them that love me and do my will. So if you don't know this God today that we're talking about, I'd like to invite you to just bow now and let us breathe a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of life and for the blessings of this day. To know, God, that you love us and you want to save us and you want to help us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless those the world over that are listening to our voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. May God bless you, friend. I trust that you'll write us and...